was there said, we need to collaborate with the other departments through the Green Task Force before we can even come to a summit. I will ask my colleague to then take the members through the following.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, DDG. Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. I would like to probably formally introduce my colleague, Ms. Fonso Marupeng, who's the chairperson of the new council. The members would remember that the last time we were here, we had an old council, its term ended in 2015, and the minister in cabinet appointed last year a new council, and Ms. Marupeng is the chairperson of the new council. Chairperson, if you allow me, I'll take you through the legislation itself, and after that I'll hand over to the new chairperson to give you the activities of the council since they have started. Continue with what they're planning to do in the near future, and we will be at your hands to discuss. Chairperson, as DDG has alluded, we have gone through the various processes of consultation for this legislation, and we have come up with the draft legislation that I will give you key areas, and I will highlight areas that are different to the new legislation compared to the old one. The legislation starts with the scope of application, which tells us which areas will this legislation apply to. It will apply to the following space activities: operating a space facility, manufacturing of space objects. When launching space objects into outer space, this legislation will have to be involved. Operation and control of space objects in orbit. After you have launched them, now they are in orbit, you need to operate and monitor what is happening there. When those space objects are coming back into Earth, the re-entry of space objects will be another area where this Act will apply. Space applications through regulations for the attainment of the Act. When we talk about space applications, we refer to space benefits for society. We refer to issues like communication, disaster management, resource management, drought monitoring, agriculture, environmental management. Those are the benefits that the society and the economy receive as a result of using space information and space data. So this legislation will also look into that through regulations and other relevant government departments, such as DST. What are the objects of this legislation? The first object is to establish the South African Space Regulatory Council, which is SASREC, the Space Council. The new legislation is coming with a new name, Chairperson. We used to call the council the South African Council for Space Affairs, but after various consultation, the teams advised us that we need to come with a proper word that brings the functioning of the council, because most people have been asking what is the council doing. But if you have the doing word, the function regulatory, in the name of the council, then it tells what the council is all about immediately. So the Act is establishing the council as a national competent authority to regulate all space affairs in the country. The council advises the minister on all regulatory matters. It will supervise and implement matters arising from international conventions, treaties and agreements. The DDG has already mentioned that we are a signatory to four treaties, so it becomes the responsibility of the Council to ensure that we implement matters arising from those treaties, because as the state we are responsible. The Council also is responsible for issuing, amending, revoking and suspending licenses for all the applications that I've mentioned earlier on. The Council will oblige persons and authorities involved in space industry to register with the Council. This is a very important matter. Members, in the previous legislation, this provision was not so firm in the sense that the legislation talked about encouraging persons and authorities to register. But you can encourage the people, but people might not register. But with this act, we're coming with a stronger language of obliging persons and authorities to register, because the Council, the DTI and the government requires to know what is happening within the space industry for compliance purposes as well as for socio-economic reasons. The Council requires to provide the appropriate and all the information about its activities. It requires to perform any other activity that is necessary for the effective achievement of this legislation. The Minister may instruct the Council to perform any activity that he deems fit. More on the Council's functions, they emphasize that all space activities shall be authorized by the Council through a license. It also deals with the issues around changing the ownership or surrendering a license as authorized by the Council. At some point in time, there is a thinking that a certain entity may register the license, may register a space object, and also require a license to actually launch this space object. But that entity may require to change the ownership and give another entity. So that process will require to be done by the Council. The Council would need to know about that. Chairperson, we are introducing license fees in this new legislation. In the previous legislation, we had no license fees. We're now thinking of introducing license fees, processes and procedures which will be prescribed by the Minister. The reason we are thinking about these license fees is because there are a number of activities, as the Chairperson, as DDG has mentioned, that are taking place in the country now, and we require to understand what is happening. At the same time, there is a lot of responsibility on the state to ensure compliance and monitoring. So if we can be able to introduce and charge some fees, we could be, I guess, use those funds. So the Council has the prerogative to grant, refuse or amend these licenses. These are the various types of licenses that the Council may issue: a space launch license if you want to launch a satellite, a facility if you have a facility, re-entry if your space object is re-entering. This is the second object of the Act, Chairperson, to establish a chief directorate to provide secretariat functions to SASREC, as well as to implement the police, the national space policy. The honourable members, I think they understand that the Council is an ad hoc body, and they meet as and when is necessary. According to the TORs, four times a year, but as there may be demands, they can meet more often. The greater part of the work is done within the DTI by the employees of the DTI. This team will require to review and monitor the implementation of the National Space Policy. DDG mentioned that we developed and launched the Space Policy in 08. That policy chairperson is now nearing its lifetime. The monitoring and evaluation of that policy is due next year, in 10 years. I mean, it was 10 years at the time, 2018. So that is the work that we need to do parallel to the work of finalizing this legislation. In addition to that, the National Space Policy guides all stakeholders on how to conduct the space activities. Mm-hmm. So there's a need for the department to monitor the implementation by all stakeholders, government stakeholders, SANSA, DST, industry, universities, and everybody. This group will have to develop and implement regulations of space activities. They need to develop and implement space industry framework. Mm-hmm. We haven't had the space industry framework since this time, but this the legislation talks about doing that. Over and above this work that is pertinent for the DTI, it will the group will serve as a secretariat for the council and its three committees. It will do other critical work necessary for the council to perform, such as licensing, as I've mentioned, monitoring, ensuring compliance of all space activities in the country. Chair, the other object of the Act is around determining and reviewing the National Space Policy, as I've mentioned. The Minister has the mandate to do that. We have to review the National Space Policy in consultation with other relevant departments. The policy is there to promote orderly development of space capabilities to promote and address socio-economic needs mm-hmm. of the country, to actually provide coordination and intergovernmental cooperation, as well as facilitating international cooperation and ensuring that we meet the international agreements, as we have mentioned. Chair, these are other objects of the Act which requires that we promote and develop a clear, transparent regulatory framework, strive to disseminate information and benefits emanating for space, because this is an area that we believe we have not done much on in disseminating and distributing information around space. Some people still believe space is an elitist sector which is only looking at going to the moon or to the Mars or what not and that. But as South Africa, we are looking only at this point in time at using space for socio-economic benefits, as I've mentioned, that we use the space data for communication, navigation, agriculture, natural resources, drought, and so on. More on the objects of the Act is about protecting the national interest of the Republic and promote international cooperation in conducting space activities. This is another important object, Chairperson, which is around promoting the development of space capability for socio-economic development. We are emphasizing socio-economic development. How are we going to do that? Earlier on, we mentioned that everybody that is involved will be obliged to register with the council. So the council will maintain a space national registry with the information of space objects that are licensed. All persons and authorities must register with the council through a compliance register. Furthermore, it is envisaged that the DTI will use its industry support mechanisms such as incubation, clustering of space industries to support the industry. More on the objects of the Act is around developing, enforcing technical and safety standards for the space sector. the DDG mentioned about the security and the safety issues. So this is another important element which is part of the objects of the Act. The Council is responsible for developing, implementing and enforcing all the activities within the space sector. We may use inspectors when it's necessary. The inspectors may inspect any documents in any space facility. Investigators may also be appointed in cases where there is an accident or unacceptable safety risk that requires to be investigated. Chair, I'm pausing because this is also another important provision of this Act, introducing insurance clause for the compensation of damage or loss resulting from the conduct. It's a new clause completely, Chairperson. This is as a result of us having ratified the Liability Convention.
Yes.
Because we have ratified the Liability Convention, now as the state, we are taking responsibility for all actions around space activities. So, and the state becomes liable for all space activity, whether the state has authorized that activity or not authorized that activity. Hence, it's important that we firm up the registration such that we know all about the activities taking place within the space arena. Because at the end of the day, the state becomes liable and the state becomes vulnerable. This provision emphasizes obligation on any person conducting space activities to obtain and maintain a liability insurance against any liability that might incur under this Act. It also introduces compensation payment for any damage to third parties for launch, operation, and return of space objects. Members, this obligation does not apply when government is undertaking the space activity, with the understanding that government has a blanket insurance for all its activities. The provision also talks about insurance waivers, which might be considered by the Council and the Minister, and may be considered on a case-by-case basis. These waivers may include situation where the space operators already have accessed certain licenses from other regulatory environment, duplicate regulatory environment. The members probably are aware that within the DTI, we also hosting the Non-Proliferation Council, which is looking at the trade exports and imports of certain objects, of certain parts, of certain products that can come in and out of the country. The MCAC as well is another institution. I didn't get the check.
NCACC.
Okay, the NCACC is the National Council for Controlled Goods. This one is under the Department of Defense.
Yeah, the National Convention.
Yes,
arms
yes. Yes, arms control, yes. NPC is the Non-Proliferation Council.
Yeah. I think in future, and I've said this before, it's very important, if you're not going to listen, maybe they are listed somewhere, these abbreviations, remember
to put them.
We do not have committee members, some of them that are more than a year old, some of them haven't been here a year. Please.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Supervisor. We'll correct it. Chair, this is another important provision of the Act which requires the Council and the DTI to ensure that we continuously monitor compliance of space activities. In the past, Chair, because of limited resources, the Council and the DTI would look into license applications and consider them and issue those licenses. But I must say, we haven't done much in terms of continuously monitor the operation of those space objects whilst they are in orbit. But that is also an important matter that we must consider now. So the Council must receive information regarding placement in orbit of space objects, any post-launch orbital changes, if there are changes in the orbit by the space object. We also need to get information pertaining to operational status of the satellite. Is it still operating? Is it malfunctioning or is it dead? Any loss of operating control of that satellite? The end of life disposal, if the satellite is coming to its end of life, what is the disposal plan? What is the plan to bring it back on Earth into atmosphere? That information requires to be supplied. Any deviation with respect to the changes, the conditions of the license. If the license was issued for condition A, for instance, as an R&D, a demonstration satellite, now if there are any changes to that, that information requires to be provided to the Council. Chair, we need to take other steps now around this legislation. We are ready to take this legislation to the Cabinet cluster so that we can request them to give us permission to take it on a wider public consultation. When we get that permission, we'll publish the act on the Government Gazette. Parallel to that, we will undertake a public consultation workshop on the draft bill itself in October this year. After we have published on the Gazette and the consultation workshop, we will have to collate the inputs. As the Council has a policy and legal committee that it has established. That document will have to be sent to the state law advisors by January 2018. We will review and update the draft bill with the state law advisors by February 2018. There are further steps that we still need to undertake post-February 2018, but that is what we have at the moment. Chair, if you allow me, I'll now hand over to the chairperson, Mr. Marubing, to take us through a new council activities and what the council is planning to do. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, chairperson, honorable members. We thought we would just start with a quick picture of the council members and the secretariat, which actually effectively is one person. We have a group of members with a varied expertise, and some of the members are representing government departments. We have DST, we have DTI, we have Department of Transport, and the Department of Postal and Telecoms Services. Okay, the Council really only got going in early February this year. We, however, had through several engagement looked at supporting the DTI in the review of or the development of the new bill. There's been several engagements reviewing how, when we look at these provisions in the Act, whether it's actually possible to implement them, because we'll be responsible for ensuring that that can happen. We reconstituted the council committees and reviewed the terms of reference of these committees. The council used to have a committee on advocacy, which we felt that given the new act is going to support industry, enabling industry development, that we should actually have a committee that focuses on that in coming up with regulations. How does this enable orderly conduct of industry in space activities? We also have a policy and legal committee and a science and technology or technical committee. The council has also developed a new strategy. We currently have a draft that will ensure that it goes through approval in the current financial year. There are quite a few new members in the council, and we've had to go through an induction. And part of this also involves stakeholder engagement in the various provinces. The major provinces in this case where we have actors in space is Gauteng in the Western Cape. We've already met with the major stakeholders in the Western Cape to get their inputs, to also explain the role of the council. We've also participated at UN Copious Committees. And recently Council with SANSA or DTI with SANSA this is the United Nations Committee on Peaceful Uses of Outer Space, which is a subsidiary of the United Nations General Assembly. And
it's very important people know what you're talking about.
Okay. Thanks, Jane. Okay, we also hosted with SANSA the Manfred Lux African Regional Moot Court Competition. This competition is held annually and its primary role is to build capacity in space regulation. So it is a competition run with other African countries, and the winners within the region get to represent the region in an international competition later in the year. This year, a team from the University of Pretoria won, and they will represent Africa in the finals in Australia. The competition has been dominated by Nigeria for quite a while, so we were happy to see a South African team win. Looking at what priorities are planned for next year, as indicated, we'll continue to support. For the rest of the year, we will continue to support the development of the bill as required. We will also have next week, actually, stakeholder engagements in Gauteng, visiting SANSA and its facilities and some of the space actors such as the CSIR. There is a treaty that South Africa hasn't ratified, which is the Moon Treaty, and the Council will be looking at reviewing this treaty and determining whether this is there is a need for South Africa to ratify this treaty or not. We will also be supporting the DTI and the DST in the development of the space industry framework. Ms. Majaja has indicated that this is an important requirement in order for us to have a proper support for space industry development. We are also currently planning to review and finalize licensing and registration processes. As part of the stakeholder engagement, we get to encourage anyone involved in space activities to register with the council. It is a requirement of the Act, and in fact we have already received a few applications for registration. The Cape Peninsula University of Technology is planning to launch a second CubeSat, and we are, the council will be looking at licensing that CubeSat. We are also looking at participating in the International Astronomical Congress, in 2017, and this will take place in Adelaide this year. And we'll continue to support South Africa's participation in the United Nations Committee on Peaceful Uses of Outer Space. And I will just now talk about the Unispace Plus 50, which is a major development currently taking place in space internationally. Just a little bit, so I'll just touch on two international activities taking place in this year and next year. The first one is the IAC in Australia. The theme this year is Unlocking Imagination, Fostering Innovation and Strengthening Security. As some of the members might be aware, as part of IAC, they often have a specific focus on regulators, where regulators from, or legislators actually from various countries get together and engage on activities related to legislation in space, and this will again take place in Adelaide. The IAC is planned for the 25th to the 29th of September. It really is the largest annual gathering of space industry and agencies and policymakers and professionals, with various themes and tracks being presented throughout that period. We also usually have a national pavilion where South Africa is able to showcase institutions and industry achievement in space capabilities. And the session on the Members of Parliament meeting will take place on the 24th of September. Okay, I mentioned in the previous slide that I will say a little bit more about Unispace Plus 50. This is a United Nations initiative, and it marks the 50th anniversary of the first Unispace conference. And this is as part of also celebrating the more than 50 years that activities have been taking place in space. When we were at the UN COPIAS meeting recently, there was a specific celebration of the first launch of an artificial satellite, which was by Russia or USSR at the time, and that was 60 years ago. And since then, the regulatory environment for managing space activities was undertaken by UN COPIAS, and this is as part of doing that. And through this effort, the United Nations is looking at developing a space strategy for 2013, and this will include looking at focusing on specific themes, which I'll talk about just now, but also looking at reviewing the current regulatory environment. So the treaties, how they've been applied, and whether there is a need to review some of these at this point or not. As part of this, there will be a high-level forum are building up to Unit Space 50, and the focus of this forum is on space as a driver for socio-economic sustainable development. The first forum took place in November last year, also in Dubai, and the next forum will take place in November this year. And I understand that invitations have already gone out to invite, for instance, a head of or senior government representatives, such as ministers at that Dubai forum. And then in June next year, there is a plan to have a high-level event as part of this, and this will be to present also this new strategy, Space 2030. And at this event, invitations will be sent out to a head of states to participate from the 18th to the 19th of June. And the official opening of UN COPIAS committee meeting will be on the 20th of June. And the objectives include presentations of lessons learned and new ideas for four thematic areas. I will explain what these areas are as well. South Africa, as part of these Unispace activities, we will be hosting a United Nations symposium on small satellite missions for scientific and technological advancement, and this will take place in Stellenbosch from the 11th to the 14th of December, and will actually include a space policy and legal segment. We will communicate the details to the committee once these are available. This next slide just gives a quick view of how this Space 2030 agenda will be developed. So looking at issues around space governance, capacity building, resilience, interoperability, and space for sustainable development. Out of these as the key areas and underpinned by the Sustainable Development Goals, the thematic priorities were developed, and these are space economy, space society, space accessibility, and space diplomacy. And so these will form part of these a new agenda for Space 2030 that will be presented in June next year. Thank you, Chairperson and members.
Yes. Thank you very much, Ms. Actually, I see it's on here. I'll just get the name again. It's Ms. Modupeng. Yes, thank you very much indeed. I saw a photograph that you include in your presentation, and realize that we do remember during the overseas visits where we've encountered you much more frequently than, say, here, that we had met Advocate Makapela, who is part of that team. But of course, also yourself, Ms. Majaja. Right, thank you. And we're Mr. Zikord is a frequent visitor. Thank you. So members, you may have realized from your agenda, I corrected mine, that the times were a little bit different, but right now it's about 5 to 11. We're going to have an opportunity to clarify anything and for questions before we have a short tea break at 11:15. So, and I should just indicate that Ms. Naidu, the Parliamentary Liaison Officer from DTI, is on medical leave, but her colleague, Ms. MC Garner, thank you very much, she's here, there we are. Good of you to be here today, this morning. So over to ourselves, members, just a short clarification on the matter or a question. Are there any need for clarification or question? I see Advocate Albert. Oh, sorry, yes. Honourable Van Skulbeck, yes, Honourable Lowe, That's it. Thank you. Honourable Albert.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the presentation. It's very interesting. Just three questions. Can you just clarify for me on what international model you are predicating this new model that you wish to implement, this regulatory model, and whether they were advised by Professor Ram Jaku, who was also a participant in this process. Then I see the scope of application, one of them is operation and control of space objects in orbit. Will the bill and the act, eventual act, only regulate matters regarding to the orbit, because many space applications are now really going further than orbiting the Earth, but actually going towards the Moon, and we know there's plans for Mars, and there's no reason that South Africa cannot be a participant in that process. So I just need clarification on that. And then license fees, the cost of license fees, well, how will you establish the cost parameters and in such a way that it's not inhibitory to new entrants in the space arena? We see a lot of new young companies entering, but they are not huge, they're not part of huge conglomerates, you know, so they need to be assisted in that respect. And just lastly, why the government, when it undertakes a space activity and launchings and re-entry, it would not need any insurance? Do we think that their guarantees will be able to safeguard us sufficiently? Would that not be a little bit reckless of government not to insure itself? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Albert. Honourable Van Schalkwyk.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is in terms of the socio-economic impact assessment that was concluded and the certificate issued. I need to know if it is possible that you can make it available to the committee for further scrutinization. And also in terms of the, in page 10 you're mentioning that if the people are obliged to register with the council, and now I want to know if do you make provision for penalties or any punishment in terms of non-compliance if they are not complying to what you subscribe to? And do you have enough resources in terms of monitoring the proper implementation and compliance to this act? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Van Schalkwyk. Honourable Lowe.
Thank you, Chair. Mine on one of the cost as well by Advocate Albert, if you can also just inform us how is it going to be determined. On page 15 or slide 15 and throughout the presentation you made reference to socio-economic needs of the Republic, and it goes throughout and you have listed a number of them, but what I haven't heard you listed or was how is this going to assist in, you know, in crime activities and things like that. How is this going to assist us? And then the National Registry, don't we have one now? And was it ever effectively managed? And why wasn't it effectively managed? And who will manage this new one now that you have mentioned in the presentation? And then on page 16, Chair, just the wording there of investigators may be appointed and stuff, just maybe if we can look at maybe the wording, how will we determine when to appoint investigators and when not and stuff, so we need to be very careful in terms of the wording as well. And then yet again on the obligation of government, the insurance and so forth. And then yet again on page 19, Chair, on the public consultation workshop, I think we have only made one workshop, where it will then be held, and when or how you're going to consult your public consultation. Because if you now, how does a family in Khayelitsha knows when, you know, something is launched in the space and they happen to be affected negatively, how would they know where to consult and where to go and put an application if they were to be affected negatively? So this public consultation, I want to know in broader terms where and how you're going to do that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Lowe. My question is similar to that one around that area. You mentioned somewhere in the presentation that other stakeholders within the, it would appear, cabinet would also be consulted. One can immediately think, obviously, of science and technology and small business, but surely that would not exhaust your consultation, and especially in view of what the Honourable Lowe has said. And I know when we went to Italy for the International Astronautical Congress, we actually took rural development with us because of the issues. So can we just get a clarification on that one? And if you don't have a definitive response, please let us know in writing. Over to yourselves then, Mr. Zikordo, and also the chairperson.
Thank you, chairperson and members, for the question. I think we'll try and deal with the questions, myself and the chairperson. I think I must start with the one around the benchmarking that we have done as far as the legislation. Yes, we have looked at a few legislation and the international model law that is being used by many states now. We have also been guided by some procedures and processes within the UN Corpus. The UN Corpus has a subcommittee on legal, which is called the Legal Subcommittee. So these issues are discussed there, and states are really encouraged to have their national legislations. States are encouraged to actually domesticate the national treaty, the international treaties. The international treaties serving as the foundation for space international law. So we have been guided by the United Nations. We've looked into the space policy and other elements of space legislation for Australia. I will leave the question for space activities like Mars and the Moon to the chairperson. I will talk about the license fees. As the members probably have noted, we have mentioned that the license fees will be prescribed by the minister. We are planning to have a range of regulations after this legislation, which will include, amongst others, the license fees. As far as the license fees are concerned, we are planning to consult the National Treasury. At the same time, we are quite aware of the fact that these licenses, they need not to be insurmountable to an extent that they discourage the new entrants, the new entrepreneurs, and the new groups that come into this area. But there is a need to have some form of license fees. I will move on to the question around insurance. We have mentioned that there will be waivers or around insurance whenever government is undertaking space activity. The main rationale around that is because government is having its own insurance for all its activities over and above this the space activities.
So we are assuming and we are banking on the fact that government already has insurance, and we would just need to get a confirmation that there is insurance that has been taken for all other activities that that government entity is looking at launching a space object. The comment around socio-economic impact study being made available, we will certainly do that. We will make it available. The question around the penalties and non-compliance. This is also a big problem for us, but the legislation talks to the fact that if anybody is not operating or behaving as prescribed by this legislation, that will be tantamount to an act that is punishable by law. There is a section in our legislation at the end. It's a pity we haven't brought the proper the MS Word document, which talks about penalties in full.
Now, we'll just send that to us.
We will send the document to you. But I must say, Chairperson, we are going to have a problem in ensuring that there is monitoring for non-compliance and all that. As the Chairperson has just mentioned, that we only have one resource at the moment that says as the Secretariat. And with a legislation like this, that's bringing a lot of provisions, it requires resources to be able to implement and monitor the implementation of the implementation. Hence there was even a suggestion to strengthen the team at the DTI such that it can be able to implement the legislation. I think I've covered most of the questions. I'm leaving the question around Mars and why are we not looking at those space activities.
Yeah.
Okay. So our bill focuses on the space activities that we currently undertake. South Africa does not participate in space exploration, which is what those involve, as in going to Mars and the Moon. So, and especially because we focused on space to support socio-economic development, and so the legislation is primarily for that. Having said that, there has been a lot of engagements internationally now regarding, in particular, the exploitation of resources in space, and even at the UN level, there's a need now to start looking at how that is going to be managed. And there is a risk that some countries will, start exploiting whatever, valuable resources are found. But we currently don't do any space exploration. Okay, and then the issue around investigators and how these may be, how we will determine. So it will be based on whether there is a non-compliance that is suspected, as in, someone conducting space activities and not informing council, or trying to, circumvent the requirements for licensing of activities. So I think only in those cases where there is an expectation or there is a suspicion that there is serious non-compliance. There was a question regarding public consultation more broadly. Okay, so that the one that is mentioned here relates specifically to consultation regarding the the bill itself. And I know that the question related to, you know, how do you inform the broader public regarding space activities. There is every year a celebration of National Space Week. During that week, there is a much broader engagement with the general public around what is going on in space and how this impacts people. But I don't think we had anticipated necessarily that kind of broader consultation related to the bill. And maybe Ms. Majaja can clarify that. Anything
else?
The National Registry. Okay. There is a registry currently, and this relates to registration of space objects, because we are a signatory to the registration treaty, registration convention. Part of what the council must do as we provide a license, we have to register these space objects, and this is also submitted then to the United Nations, where they keep a register of all of the space objects that have been registered.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to add on what the colleagues have said, more especially on the questions by Honourable Albert. I think some of the questions by Honourable members, we are taking them as, you know, suggestions that we need to carry forward, more especially in consultation with other government departments. We will definitely have to consult with the National Treasurer on the issues of insurance, whether we need insurance, whether it has to be prescribed in the law or not. They will have to advise us on that. On what the chairperson of the council have said now on the deep space exploration and all those things, I think nothing will stop South African scientists and our research institutions from collaborating with the international organizations in matters of deep space exploration. Obviously, with the kind of economy and the budget that we have to be careful now we participate in these areas. But really, I don't think that it stops us from participating. Thank you.
Yes. Of course, the issues around which immediately come to mind, which we wouldn't expect, I think, the officials to respond to, but rather to come back to us with, and that is the point regarding space exploration, because that would involve a policy, an executive decision. But it would be useful for us if we learned whether or not this has been addressed yet, because if it has not, we would then address this to the minister, you see.
Yes.
But Honourable Lowe?
Thanks, Chair. I think one of my questions were not answered, Chair, in connection with the socioeconomic one. That one was not answered. And then also just on the public consultation, Chair, can we have a follow-up? Can I someone do my follow-up now?
Mm-hmm.
All right. On the public consultation, I think that 1 week, Chairperson, is totally not enough. I think more needs to be done and stuff, because if you're talking, you are bringing to us, or you are busy in the process of having legislation that you want us to amend and approve as Parliament, and there you talk about insurance issues and community that needs to know when this happened, that is my, that I need to do when this happens in my community. So I think broader public consultation needs to be done. 1 week or one consultation is really not enough. And normally when this 1 week activities is done, it's more sometimes at your suburb areas or in nice fancy hotels. We need to go down to the ground to these communities and not let this space issues look so gigantic to the black community. We need to involve more communities in this. Thank you, Chair.
Right. Did anyone else want to do a follow-up? You know, I do just want to do one follow-up here with respect, similar to the question that's just come up, I think, on slide 24. There was some, yes, you indicated there would be this, what is it called, the symposium. A couple of people invited and so on and so forth. It may be constructive if members of the committee, those who could attend, could also be invited there. But I think the point that has been made by the Honourable Lowe needs to be taken very seriously. You know, when it comes to the budget, and then we budgeted X here, well, they're going to say, well, why aren't we getting water rather? You know, what are you going up to space for, etc., etc. So please, as you address this now, keep that in mind. We can't leave the majority of our people outside of the process. All right? Do address this, please.
Thank you, Chairperson and Honourable Members. I think your questions and suggestions very helpful and supportive. Regarding the consultation, in essence, we will do more than one workshop. We will do provincial workshops for each province. We will go to the communities and we'll make sure we're not going to the fence suburbs. And the
I won't be receiving a visit.
So we will go down to the people and make them understand over and above the week that Ms. Marubeng has mentioned. It will not be enough. So we're intending to do that. Regarding the socio-economic needs that you have mentioned, I was actually talking to my DDG yesterday that if South Africa had at least one or two of these satellites, we would be getting data quite cheaply to do most of the activities that we want to do across a number of sectors, including the safety and policing area. But we don't have that satellite. I'm aware that SANSA and Danel Space Tech are involved in developing an Earth observation satellite that will help us in a number of areas that are for socio-economic development. Areas that you have mentioned around crime. I'm aware that some of these institutions, they already access data for border patrolling, for border monitoring, coast monitoring, because there have been also problems with agriculture and fisheries sector where there is poaching and all that. Also, they are using that information in the Kruger National Parks and in main parks around rhino poaching. So, The greatest problem is the fact that each institution goes and access or procures data from private satellite operators, as we don't have our own satellite. So we are using already space data for these socio-economic activities, monitoring drought, agricultural crop management, natural disasters, but we are doing it quite expensively because we go one by one and procure information from private satellite operators. Thank you. I think I've covered most of the questions, Chairperson.
Yes. No, indeed you have. But like I said, there are a couple of things that you're still coming back to us. There's a document here and there, etc. So, look, today's Tuesday. Do you think Friday's too soon for you to come back with this information to send it back by the liaison officer?
No, it's not. It's okay.
If you could do that, it's always useful for people to have this before the weekend.
Yes.
You follow. Mm-hmm. But. You know, as you know yourself, I mean, the fellow leading this Mars sort of exploration is a South African educated here, Elon Musk. Yeah, you know, so there it is. I'm sure he'll give us a discounted price. But then we are thank you very, very much. Truly, space is the future. I realize I may not be around when we get to Mars, but what I can say is when I look at the United Nations, the plus 50 processes, which the parliamentarians have heard a great deal about on that day that we meet together, all the parliamentarians regarding space, and I mean the sustainable development goals, not everyone may be aware of, but as people, it's very rare that people are put first in any sustainable goal. It's X and Y and Z. Planet. Yes. You know, our planet Earth, we forget, is one of many. And then, yes, prosperity. And then peace. If you are dealing with people and you take account of your environment, the broader environment, everyone is prosperous in an inclusive economy, then you will surely have peace. But we can't do this as governments alone. We need to work in partnership with the private sector and civil society. But more important than anything, members, and also the Council and Trade and Industry, DTI, is governance. It's very important that we begin to put down a framework of governance. You know, what we see in these space films, etc., it's soon going to be reality. Now, how are we going to deal with the governance issues there? And we've done a lot on the technical front. We've done very little on governance. And where do we always come short on Earth? That is governance. So we really have to look at this seriously. And trade and industry, if we are going to succeed, we cannot ignore this area, please. But thank you very much to the team. It's good to see you here rather than overseas, or, you know, we often see you there and we say, oh, hi, yeah, no. But you need to come and visit us more often, all right? Thank you very much. Now, just before the tea break, which I understand will be brought at about, is it 9:30? It's probably 9:25 now. I need to brief the committee on what is happening tomorrow. You know, you look here and it talks about Wednesday, and a lot of you are asking me, why are we starting at 10? Why? Well, I'll tell you why. It's a different kind of committee meeting. We've been asked by the speaker to please engage with a delegation from Uganda, a delegation of members of parliament from Uganda. Because, I don't know, they seem to think we know a lot about how to do procurement. Well, I just think let's be quite honest with them and tell them we're also cutting our teeth there. But, because that's the reality, we have got regulations. We have even got legislation, or primary legislation. But what we need to do, it's no use trying to help someone by not telling them things that you have struggled with, that have gone wrong, so that they can learn from our mistakes. Do you understand? Let us share what we have honestly with them. This is where we are succeeding. We have succeeded. These are where we're falling short. Why? Because of this, because of that. So please get out your information on procurement, the colloquiums we've had. You know, our last budget, we addressed the issue of procurement and how it was hampering some of our progress in manufacturing and industrialization, etc. We honestly addressed it. We even pointed out state-owned entities, companies, you know, been some of the primary sort of defaulters often. So let us share that so that Uganda can look at this and say, well, we can learn a lesson from this. Do you follow? And do it properly. We're learning that lesson, aren't we? We are addressing procurement legislation. Are we not, Mr. Herman? Not us personally, but our country is going to do that through the Finance Standards Committee. And what we've done as trade and industry, you will recall, is to rope in the Auditor General and to say, now look, man, can't you give us a hand here? And they've agreed in principle to do that. So our senior economist here, Ms. Zakwanda Madalani, is preparing a document for us to refresh our memories, kind of bring it all together, you see? And I understand that may be issued this afternoon electronically. So make sure Mr. Hermans has got your the email that you get information on, all right? Not the ones that are meant for your husband and spouses, etc. All right. We want the correct one. Thank you very much.
This is
no. No, yes. And I better leave that one out here as well. You know. Unless, of course, your mistress is helping you on these issues, which I doubt. Okay. But on that note, I imagine that we could be pretty close to tea. But we're also going to hand out some minutes. So just sit there quietly as we hand out the minutes. Mr. Medima, are you sitting there quietly? You know? Yes, just get up, please, and go and check if the tea is there. Thanks. And then we'll hand out these minutes quickly. And then as soon as we hear the tea is called, we'll rush out and get tea. And then what we'll do is we'll ask the... you know, we'll deal with the framework for the committee bill on debt relief, which actually won't begin at 12. Let's see, it is now 11:30, which will probably begin at 11:45. Do you see that? After the minutes. So let's just hand out these minutes, Mr. Herman. Right. Perhaps some, you know, we can just get someone to give a hand here. Right. Right, there's a package. And another package and so on and so forth. While we are addressing this, we are looking at programs. You're all aware of certain things which we are dealing with. The workshop on copyright and performance protection bill is on the 27th and 28th. And then on the 29th, the workshop on industrialization and its linkages with trade, procurement, comes again, investment, and localization. You know, even in space, they're involved in that, procurement. Am I right? Procurement cuts across. It's cross-cutting. Runs across everything. Investment runs across everything again. And in most areas, trade does. Because I know we've got, what is it, the aerospace Centurion Village. It's got beyond the fences now, has it? And it's...
There's a few plants there now.
And what is there now, Mr. McPherson?
A few plants.
Well, let's rather hear from the DDG, because he may have, you know, turned the turf or something. Are you aware about the aerospace village in Centurion, DDG?
Yes, sir, I am aware.
And what does it look like now?
Well, it's developing. It's a difficult sector.
All right.
It's a high end of technology, but a few companies are there now.
Well, the next time a DTR brings anything to me, I don't want an artistic impression. I want a photograph of what is this. Because, you know, I can do my own artistic impressions, all right? Having DTR probably weren't aware of that. Now, all right, let's get down to the minutes, all right? And now, this committee is usually excellent with getting our minutes done on time, but we've been so busy we haven't been able to. So we go back to February, is that correct? The 28th. And some of the members have even left page one. They've gone to other areas in Parliament, been deployed. Page two. Even Mkongi was then an ordinary member of Parliament, yeah, backbencher to say the least. Committee business. Four, briefing on the State of Nation Address, National Address, SONA, the budget. I thought it was the State of Nation Address. Have I lost track of what the title is? Because now it's changed to National Address. This State of Nation Address, right. You know, you never know what's going to change, the weather changes all the time. Right, page three. We then had a consideration of quite a few minutes. And the consideration of the first draft of the oversight report, which confirms our view of the sharp instrument oversight is. And page four. We have someone to propose the adoption of those minutes. Please check the register. Honourable Van Schalkwyk, yes, and the Honourable MacPherson. For some reason then we jumped right to May. Is that because we had to send these back to be revised? Right. 2nd of May. Well, there we are, full team here. We had our occasional whip, casual whip, part-time whip there as well, Honourable for Debbie. European Union delegation there, the animal feed. Oh gosh, yes, this particular one I think was quite an interesting meeting. We had just about everyone there. Page two, BBEE Commission, Bay Hill Capital, and so on. The adoption of the agenda, and then the presentation. They were clearly trying to defend the poultry position, right? Page three. I think we should remind the European Union that next time we visit there, we want to go to one of their committees and make a presentation, right? Page three. Shouldn't we do that? Huh? Do you agree? Yes. We give them the space, don't we? Page three, presentation by the Animal Feed Manufacturers Association. The interesting thing when I saw this, I wondered why they didn't say Animal Feed Producers Association. Why manufacturers? How do you manufacture food? I thought you produced it. Anyone? No, I don't know. Is that a South Africanism? Right. Resolution. Presentation by the BBEE Commission. And then page four. We had Bay Hill Capital telling us how wonderful they are. We still got to actually interrogate whether that is an accurate reflection or not. And then we had the register. We have someone to propose the adoption of the minutes of the 2nd of May, who was present. Yes, Honourable MacPherson, seconded by the Honourable Van Schalkwyk. Then we have the 12th of May. Yes. We had Honourable Kalako present there as our part-time alternate whip there, page 1. We were looking at the national lotteries. Do we all remember that? Those of us who were present. And we had conducted those interviews. Who's sitting here now who was present during those interviews? One, two, three. Yeah, very interesting. Seems some of those applicants thought it was a lotto we were running. Now, page two. Right. And the register, where is the register? Yes. AP, right. Now I have someone to propose adoption there. Honorable Terko, seconded by the Honorable Van Skalkwyk. 17th of May. Right. 17th of May, we were in E249, all on our best behavior there. And there we have the adoption of the agenda, page 2. Consideration of the budget vote report. Right. Most parties made a contribution here and there, and the resolution resolved that members should forward recommendations to the secretariat, etc. So we hadn't actually adopted it, we were considering it. Right. There you have the register. Can we have someone to propose adoption of those minutes?
Sorry,
yes, Honourable Lowe?
Sorry, on apologies, I say I've sent an apology, but it's not on the minutes.
Right. Now that's why I say please check the register, because this goes down and then your own parties then tackle you on the matter. Fine. Thank you very much, Honourable Lowe. So with that amendment in the register, can we have someone to propose the adoption? Is there a problem with the minutes that no one who was there, I was present, but I can't do that. The people present who are here today, unfortunately, aren't here, so we have to put these aside. No, you see, the only one is, look, the Honourable Hill Lewis is no longer here, Honourable Esterhazen isn't here. So the only one present are people who I can't adopt, you know, propose. All right, can we put them aside?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Next set is the 19th of May. We have quite a few people present there. Yeah, it's definitely noted you submitted the apologies. I'm checking right now if this is noted here. AP, low, apologies, yes. I'm not sure why it was sort of scratched out to start, but there we are. Anyway, page 1.
Yeah.
Honourable MacPherson?
This was actually in G26, not E249.
G... Let me see.
I'm going to check here just a sec, but you saw that on the back, didn't you? Or where did you see that?
No. Where did you see that? That was G. Because some of these things
When we took the vote, I'm quite sure that we were... When we took the vote on this, I'm quite sure that we were in G26. Because this deals with the adoption of the report into the NLC chairperson,
yeah.
And I'm quite sure that was G26.
All right, can we ask the secretary to confirm that? Can we do that and put them aside, because we can't then adopt it if there's that difference of
opinion.
No. Let us confirm that, Honourable MacPherson. What? What if it was on Mars? Anyway, I understand that we can proceed, we've been advised, but that will have to be confirmed on the venue. Can we have someone then to propose the adoption?
One more thing, Chief. I had specifically asked Ms. Skaltz she then tabled at that meeting the full list of applicants for the NLC chair, and then I then specifically asked her, and there were no objections for the reasons in writing why the minister had forwarded us those three names. That doesn't reflect in the minutes, and
Right. Well, in that case, we need to relieve this thing for another day so that you can address that. No, but the point is, are we agreeing on the amendments?
That's what the committee must decide. That we have I can recall you mentioning it. So
no, I do recall the Honourable MacPherson addressing this. Now, who else was there besides myself and the Honourable MacPherson? Honourable Van Schalkwyk, were you present at that? Is that correct?
Yes.
Then we will propose the adoption with that amendment. Are we agreed? Yes, Honourable Van Schalkwyk?
Page 2. Under 3.9.
Yes.
Under the note, Karako Giuliani Keiko. I think it must be Keiko.
Keiko. You know, I wonder, shouldn't we bring these minutes back? Let's bring these minutes back, Mr. Herman. Yeah. I mean, I won't be able to keep track of the amendments. All right, the 30th of May. Good heavens, there's a huge list of people present. Right. So, yes, let's do page 1. Page 1? The 30th. Page 2. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Please check the register. Where's the other register with the arts people? Yes. We will need the other register attached as well. Can you see that? There were two committees there. Does everyone see that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Can we have someone to propose the adoption, please, of the 30th of May? Honourable Tirko, seconded by the Honourable Lowe. Thank you. Thank you very much. Is the tea there, Mr. Medima? Right, it's a tea break, please, 5 minutes. Please allow the committee members to, address the tea first and then the rest of the people present, the guests. Thank you. So please return here at 5 to 12. I will start then.
Well, the
Please, if you ask me now,
want to use this program so that we can...
And when you're there, because, you know, it's either that's what I do, whatever you've given me, But remember, we were told there was no quorum on that day. Apparently there is.
Only for us, Charmaine. It's only your committee, not for any media.
No, but and then I'll say, as this, we really need to make this clear, and not to repeat more or less what you said. So there is no doubt where we are. Because you know, the last thing we need is somebody going to the paper, half done. Do you know?
The question is, for whom you think you're
MC, can you use your laptop because the laptop doesn't have
Do you have a stick? No, I didn't bring a stick.
What do you need for me? I've got the thing.
You've got the thing. Mm. Yeah.
I think I have it somewhere. Yeah.
Okay, do.
I do. It's a matter of finding it.
Yeah, I probably have to put in a photo. I don't even know that's going to school. We might have it. If this doesn't work, then I will get it on Not forever, until I leave. Marco. Is that not ours?